The receive in this verse contains the prefix epo, which means receive, meaning to receive back again what is due. Therefore, these are Israelites who are being reinstated to their former position with God. To receive back again, therefore, cannot include anyone who did not originally have this position. It cannot mean non-Israelites. Galatians 3:24 tells us that the child is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. There is a progression from childhood to sonship in this chapter. This sonship is fully realized at the time of the manifestation of the sons of God. Children of God is not a title, but sons of God is a title. Romans 8:18-23 gives the connection with adoption. In verse 18, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20 is hope. Verse 21, shall be. Verse 23, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. The time of the manifestation of the sons of God is an important subject. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It is pointed out that one does not become a man without first having been a child. The child is under the schoolmaster. The child is the man earlier in time. He is still the same person. He is still of the same race and bloodline. Today we are taught that anyone of any race can become a son. This is based on the presumption that every person of every race was given the law of Moses, and that all races are the same because they all came from Adam. This is manifestly not true. This is why the first chapter of this book quoted so many verses to authenticate the exclusive position of Israel nationally in regard to the giving of the law and the covenants of God. The fifth verse on adoption is Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption, or placing as sons, of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In Strong's G4309, the Greek word proizo, they mean predestinate, to limit in advance or to determine before. Thayer gives the same meaning, to determine, decide beforehand, to foreordain, and to appoint beforehand. That there might be any limit in advance on who can become sons might find sentimental objections among sentimental Christians who think that whosoever has no limits, according to the good pleasure of his will, might also find sentimental objections, but God is still sovereign and selective, and he is an unchanging as ever. The good pleasure is given as satisfaction, delight, purpose, etc. Thayer gives the same, delight, pleasure, and satisfaction. We have looked at the limitations in this connection in regard to the exclusiveness of Israel in the New Testament. God does choose according to his purpose. For thelemia, his will, we find is a determination, a desire, a will, a pleasure. The us in the verse is selective, and not every one of every race. Talking of God's selection, the Apostle Paul also asked this question, how is anyone able to argue with God? How can you argue with God? You say, I don't like a God who is limiting who can be redeemed and have eternal life. Everybody ought to have it. Well, you don't run God. Either you have a God you can run, or you have God who cannot be run. So how do you argue with God? Romans 9:20-22, Nay, but O man, who art thou who repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel into honor and another into dishonor? You mean God makes some people into dishonor? Evidently. Arguing with God is impossible. The we in this book of Romans is those to whom it is written. The relationship of this peculiar people in particular to the law is an issue in the books of Romans and Galatians. For this reason, the argument Paul makes does not apply to all peoples, but is limited to the two sections of God's people, which is Israel, the house of Judah, and the house of Israel, those who were circumcised, those who were still in the old covenant, and those who were kicked out of the covenant, the northern 10 tribes, of the house of Israel. Can any really argue with God about his selection and limiting in advance? Paul goes on to tell of the vessels afore prepared unto glory. This is referring to Israelites only in the book of life. God determined long ago that it would not be everyone of every race. No, in context, it is to Jews and Greeks. And the word Jews, as I've said, I don't like, because the word Jews here refers to the Israelites in Judea and those of the house of Judah. And those of the dispersion are the Greeks, those that are of the 10 tribes that were scattered abroad. Paul again goes on to associate the Greeks with those to whom Hosea prophesied, namely the house of Israel. In all five occurrences of the word adoption in the New Testament, each is associated with Israel. At this point, some might say, so what? Israel is spiritualized in the New Testament. If Israel was not spiritualized when the Apostle Paul wrote his epistle, when was this change made? Again, this is one of the reasons why this point had to be covered in an earlier chapter, to show that the common view is not valid. The thrust of Scripture is that the change is in within the Israel people who now may receive sonship. That is, be reinstated and placed as sons of God. It is not a change of non-Israelites into Israelites, but of those sons of Jacob who became worthy to have such a title. 1 John 3:2 tell us that we are now the sons of God, and that when Jesus returns, we shall be like him. In the New Testament, there are two Greek words translated as son or sons. These words are not interchangeable. The lexicon's given large coverage on these two words. The first word is technon. This is translated as child 77 times, daughter 1 time, sons 21 times, and means a child. Vine says that there's another word called, in contrast to huios, son, it gives prominence to the fact of birth, whereas huios stresses the dignity and character of the relationship. Acts 13:33, thou art my son, huios. All Israelites are technon, children of God, but not all Israelites will be called huios, sons of God. The word huios is used in a way that involves the character, orderliness, and discipline of a particular group. From Thayer's compilation, we find offspring, children, a male child, a son, the name transferred to that intimate and reciprocal relationship formed between men by the bonds of love, friendship, trust, just as between parents and children in affectionate address, such as patrons, helpers, teachers, and the like. They employ my child. In the New Testament, pupils or disciples are called children of their teachers, because the latter by their instruction nourished the minds of their pupils and molded their characters. Children of God in the Old Testament, of the people of Israel, as especially dear to God in the New Testament. In Paul's writings, all who are led by the Spirit of God and thus closely related to God. Well, Mr. Thayer's religious tones will have to be overcome and buried. When were the children of Israel ever downgraded to the status of being merely dear to God? They were loved. They were the apple of his eye. But despite this bias, it seems they still cannot get away from the basic fact that the children of Israel were in a different relationship with God in comparison with all other races. Huios is another word. This word occurs 380 times and is translated mainly as son or sons or child. It does denote kinship. Thayer says a son, rarely used for the young of animals, generally used of the offspring spring of men. In a wider sense, a descendant, one of the prosperity of anyone, used to describe those who are born from above. Hereafter, in the blessedness and glory of life internal, will openly wear this dignity of the sons of God. Vine says primarily signifies the relationship of offspring to parent. Although Thayer's comments reflect those of the church, the special nature of those who are begotten from above is nevertheless present. This goes to show how vigilant we have to be when we read the lexicons and other such references. They all have their built-in religious beliefs that color their decisions and their writing as to the definitions. Let us look at some of the verses where huios is found. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or huios of God. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth or the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons or huios of God. Galatians 4:5, that we might receive the adoption, the placing of sons. And Galatians 4:7, wherefore art thou no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:18, ye shall be my sons and daughters. Hebrews 2:10, in bringing many sons into glory. The important thing to establish is the origin of these sons of God. What is clear is that they came from the state of servitude under the law. From there they came to a state where they can be placed in sonship. That they do not originate from those who were never under the law is clear. There is no possible way adoption can relate to the adoption of non-Israelites. There is another point in Greek which might help understand of this subject. If we consider Galatians 4:5 again, that we might receive the adoption of sons, the word apiolambeno, receive, is a compound word, and the prefix apio or apo has the force of back again. These peculiar or particular people must be receiving something back which they had possessed at some previous time. Hosea prophesies to Israel and nails this down. In Hosea 1:10, Hosea said, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, that is Israel, ye are not my people, there it shall be said of them, ye are the sons of the living God. In this verse, my people and sons are different terms. In John 1:11-12, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Once again, we need to determine the origin of the sons of God. They are from among his own. Jesus came to his own possessions, but those in control of these possessions did not receive him as the owner. On the other hand, the common people there heard him gladly and recognized his authority. Their belief enabled them to become the sons of God once again. The rulers who question this authority are to be cast out. As many, that is, of Israel, as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. This is the qualification. It is from this verse that the verses containing the word adoption follow on. In the next chapter, we will see whether or not strangers could join themselves to Israel and become a part of Israel.